We have heard your word, O God. In this time, we seek your guidance in deeper understanding, not just what it meant to the people in that moment, but also what it means for us in this moment. Remind us that we too number among your chosen, that we too need your guidance and your assurance. Speak them into the times and spaces, not just of worship, but of our whole lives. We ask this and all things in the name of Christ, the Lamb. Amen. Message isn't over yet. I just started. Everybody wants to get to their bread and juice, I know. But what we just heard in the book of Exodus were instructions concerning that first Passover for the Hebrew people. For any who do not know, this also coincided with the 10th plague that God sent upon Egypt, where every firstborn, human and animal, was taken in the night, save those who put the lamb's blood on their doors, on the posts and the lintel. The Hebrew people were protected by God's word and direction, and following this, they were led out of Egypt, out of slavery. Now, we could go into the impact of the plagues on the people, but the focus of this reading is the saving act of God, the choosing of God's people, and ultimately the practice that came out of it for the Hebrew people can inspire our own understanding of Christ's life, the Lord's Supper, his death, and his resurrection. The practice of Passover was and is a sacred act. But it's more than just remembering of that time that God passed over the Hebrew people during the 10th plague. It all comes back to being and continuing to be God's chosen people, a rededication of sorts of people to God and God who claims them. It is important to say, though, that there are key differences between a Seder practice of our Jewish kindred and what we are living into here today, what we call communion or the Lord's Supper. There are lots of parallels between the two, to be sure. The unleavened bread, the imagery of the blood of the Lamb that is often held up against the blood of Christ as we talk about those who are saved. But the moment that Christ sat down with his disciples, he changed that practice into something different. Why we do it, though, is similar. Why we gather at this table is similar. It is about acknowledging that we belong to God, that we are saved, that we are chosen by God. Understanding this is a big part of knowing why we come to this table. There's a bigger piece that we hear often, because I know that I've said it often, but we generally don't think about it that much. When we gather at this table, we are participating in what I like to call an extra-temporal event. Something that happens outside the constraints of time. This sounds strange, I know, but when we gather around this table, it's not just us. It's not just our friends at home on Zoom. This meal includes everyone who might watch this service through the week, but also everyone who has come to this table for the same reason that we do, to share in the promise and to be claimed by God. This means that as we share the bread, we do so with countless generations of Christians, that when we share the cup, we do so with the disciples. And most important of all, when we come to share in the feast that feeds our soul, we are joined by none other than Jesus Christ himself, not just in the bread and in the cup, but in his walking with us through this time, handing us the elements that are symbols of the sacrifice that he knows has come for us, is coming for his disciples. In that moment of total unity with our kindred across time, we name ourselves as God's own, as Christ's own. And in that same moment, we are claimed by Christ, claimed by God, cherished by the divine. It actually reminds me a lot of a movie that I saw. It's not new. It's almost 20 years old now. Finding Nemo. Does anybody know that movie? How many have seen Finding Nemo? About a fish that gets lost and the fish's dad goes out in search for him. It's beautiful. But
there is a character in that movie that is pretty memorable that comes to me when I think of how God claims us, when we gather at this table together to be claimed by God. Can anybody tell me what the seagulls in Finding Nemo say that might apply here? If you could say it all at once, that'd be even better. They only have one word, and they say it over and over again. Mine. Whenever a fish jumps out of the water or something like that, all of the seagulls flock down and they say, mine, 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 mine. Of each one of us who shares in this feast, God says, mine. It is not a covetous, jealous, or abusive mine. It is an acknowledgement of connectedness, of love, and of care. Like a proud parent pointing out their child's accomplishment, God points at us and says, she is mine. They are mine. He is mine. So this is a pretty special table and a pretty special thing that we do here, because we share this precious moment with our kindred across time. We name ourselves as and are simultaneously claimed as God's own children, Christ's own partners, the Holy Spirit's own hands and feet in the world. So as we prepare our hearts and minds for the feast that feeds our souls, let us remember that what we do here is not a moment in time, but the continuation of a meal that has been waiting for us to participate for nearly 2,000 years. Let us center ourselves now as we come together, as we are invited to this table by Christ and called by God to go from it with an eagerness to serve the world around us. Amen.